Baptist. Every year in Advent, the second Sunday of Advent is dedicated to talking about John the Baptist, this amazing man of faith, courage, and dedication. I grew up going to drive-in movies. Any of you do that? Remember the coming attractions that would blare beforehand as you'd get to watch 10, 12 coming attractions of really bad grade B movies that showed at the drive-ins? It was wonderful. It still happens today. There's a movie coming out. And you know what? You may have seen one or two commercials about it. Now, my daughters probably can't tell you my birthday, but they know that on December 15th, The Last Jedi is coming. Previews of coming attractions. Black Friday was just a week ago, and you know what? I bet there was a commercial or ad or two about Black Friday, getting people's attention to let them know something was coming. When something big is coming, there are always previews. There's always a heads up that it is coming because it gives us the ability to wait and anticipate for what is coming. There's one problem with waiting, though. Most of us aren't really good at it. We are not very good at waiting, especially Americans living in the 21st century. But when we talk about the Bible, we have to remember the waiting patience of the ancient people of God. Because the people of Israel waited for the coming of their Messiah, not for a couple of weeks or months or years or even decades. For 500 years, they waited for God to fulfill his promise that he would send the Messiah, that he would send his Savior. And finally, word came that God was about to do what he had said he would do. And the coming attraction, the voice, the trailer, the one that said, "Heads up, folks," was a voice in the wilderness, a voice that yelled to the people of Israel, "Prepare, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." These ancient words of the prophet Isaiah to the people of Israel, they found their fulfillment in one individual who came telling everyone, "The waiting is over, the time is here," and that individual was John the Baptist. One of the most interesting and outlandish characters in the history of the world. First off, there was the way John dressed. Now, we are used to seeing some kind of strange outfits today, aren't we? But John the Baptist was noted. The gospel writers take the time to tell us the strange way in which John dressed. We are told he wore an outfit made out of camel hair. And he wore around his waist a big leather belt. Now, why would the gospel writers tell us how John dressed? Well, because the way he dressed was very symbolic. The way he dressed had a meaning, because John the Baptist dressed like someone dressed before John the Baptist. And that was the Old Testament prophet Elijah, the great prophet of the Lord who stood up against Ahab and Jezebel and all the prophets of Baal. The one who was taken into heaven in a fiery chariot, and, according to the last verses of the Old Testament, the one who would come again to herald the day of God's judgment on the world. John the Baptist dresses the way he does because John the Baptist is Elijah coming back to tell everyone, "Prepare, the time has come." He also had a very, very strange diet. Wild honey and locusts. Now again, why he ate that, I don't know. Was it a special weight loss plan? I have no idea. Was he grasshopper intolerant? I don't know. But John ate the food that reminded the people of Israel of God's promises in the wilderness. They were going to the land flowing with milk and honey. They lived in the wilderness, which was the abode of the locust. John comes out of the wilderness to prepare the way, and God tells the people of Israel, "Get ready." God tells the people of Israel, "Repent." And when John speaks of repentance, it is much more than we normally think of when we say repentance. You know, we usually think of it in terms of, "I'm sorry." And how many ways can you say sorry? "I'm really sorry." "Fine, I'm sorry. I hope you're happy." Think of all the ways in which we say, "I am sorry." But John told the people of his day, "God wants true repentance of you." He called the religious leaders coming out to him. He called him the brood of vipers. You're a bunch of snakes in the grass. Because you come out here looking all nice, but you're still filled with sin and poison and hatred. The word in the Bible for repentance in the Old Testament is a really important word. Because the word literally means to turn around. To turn around. Because when we're sinning, we are walking away from God. What God wants us to do is turn around, to walk away from sin and back to Him. And when we do that, said John the Baptist, we do something else. Because he told people to repent and to bear fruits worthy of repentance, to live a life that shows you truly have repented, to live a life that benefits others because you are a changed person. And, as his name implies, John baptized. Now, ceremonial washing was very important to the ancient Jews. But John did something different. He had people come to him. He baptized them in the River Jordan. And people, we're told, the entire population, it seems, he was popular. People came flocking to him to be baptized, and John performed upon them a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He was quite the character. But there is still more about John the Baptist. Because John told the crowds who came out to him, there's someone else. There's someone else coming after me. And he is so powerful and important that I am not worthy to bow down and untie the thongs on his sandal. Says John, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, as it says in Mark's gospel or as it says in the other gospels. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. And I'd love to have been there that day when among the crowds lining up to be baptized by John in the Jordan River, suddenly John and Jesus of Nazareth are face to face. And John baptizes Jesus. And John declares to the crowds, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And at that moment, Jesus' public ministry begins. And as Jesus' public ministry begins, John's begins to end. He tells the crowds, I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him. And then he says this about the Messiah, about this Jesus. He must increase and I must decrease. John now knew that his moment upon the public stage was over. He had played his role. He had done his herald's work. And if you know the Bible story, you know what happens to John the Baptist. That he is arrested for preaching against King Herod and his incestuous marriage against his, he actually made his brother divorce his wife so he could marry her. And John preached against that because I think there's something in the Bible against doing that. And King Herod did not like that, and King Herod had John arrested and thrown in prison. And while John is in prison, he sends word to Jesus because he is not certain if Jesus really is the one. He says, are you the one who is to come or should we look for another? And Jesus responds with this powerful passage we'll look at in today's adult forum about all that he has said and done. In the end, John falls prey to the intrigues in Herod's palace. You know the story, how Herod was intrigued with his wife's daughter and said, if she dances for me at my birthday party, I'll do anything she wants. And what does she want for her birthday present? She wants John's head on a silver platter. And so John is executed. His mission is over, but he is not forgotten. Jesus says to the crowds who were talking about John, he said, what did you expect when you went out to see John? Did you expect to see a reed shaking in the wind? Did you expect to see someone dressed in soft robes? Did you expect to see a prophet? Well, Jesus says, you know what? You saw a prophet, and you saw more than a prophet. Because Jesus declares this of John the Baptist. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has risen greater than John the Baptist. Jesus himself attested to the importance of the one who came in the wilderness. This is our second Sunday in Advent. We continue our Advent celebration, and as I said, every year on Advent, on the second Sunday, we talk about John the Baptist. The word Advent means arrival. And it has a very special connotation in the ancient world. Because in the ancient world, when someone important, the emperor or someone, went somewhere, it was called the Adventus. This is actually a coin of a Roman emperor declaring his advent. his adventus, his arrival, because when the Roman emperors would travel from place to place, when they'd visit cities, there would be a lot of advance notice so the cities could get ready for the emperor's arrival. This is the time when we prepare. This is the time when we set the stage for the coming of the Messiah. Advent is, as John declares, preparing the way of the Lord. That's what John did. And he did a humble and an amazing job in his work. So, what does it all mean for us? Because you know me in my preaching, that a sermon is more than a Bible lesson, it's more than a history lesson. A sermon is always about what does this mean for you and me? What is the message we can take away from the story of John the Baptist? Well, I think there's a number of important things for us to focus on, not just during this Advent, but every day of our life. And the first is this. John calls us to pay attention. John calls us to pay attention and know what God is doing. John calls us to pay attention and know the story. I'm currently teaching our eighth graders the New Testament. And they have their last class in 2 weeks. And at their last class, Pastor Paul was lovingly going to send them home with a quiz. Because every year I give our eighth graders a little quiz to take home. It's not hard, just so you know. But there are certain things we expect our eighth graders to know. We expect them to know the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, the passion story, because that's the good news we share. We expect them to know why the resurrection is important. I even have them memorize Bible verses. We have them memorize the Great Commission. We have memorized the Great Commandment, because those are important for us. As God's people, we need to pay attention to God's Word. Think of all the things you are paying attention to during Advent. All the things that draw your attention as we get ready for Christmas. Let's make sure we take some time to pay attention to the Word of God as well. Baptism, or John the Baptist, calls us to repent every day. True repentance. Not just shallow I'm sorry's, because we know that Santa is watching and he's making a list and checking it twice. God demands true repentance of all of us. God does not want snakes in the grass, like John the Baptist said. God wants his people who truly repent of our sins, and God wants his people to truly bear the fruit of repentance. Both John and Jesus talked about being good fruit. God has invested his Son in you and me. God expects dividends of us. Bearing good fruit is not optional for Christians. Here's one for us to keep in mind. John the Baptist calls us to remember, it's not all about me. John knew he was not the central character in this drama. He knew Jesus was more important. Too many people go through life thinking it is all about me, that the world revolves around me, that everyone needs to focus on me. That's not right. And that's not true. Advent calls us to focus on the one who is truly important. It calls us to focus on Jesus Christ. And Advent also calls us to make sure that we follow the right one in our lives. Why do baby ducklings follow Mama Duck? Because they know Mama Duck can be trusted. As Christians, you and I are called to make sure we follow the right one in our lives, because there are so many false leaders out there, people who are calling us away from the truth. We are called to do what John said, to listen to his word, and to follow the one who comes, who baptizes with the Spirit and with fire. And we're called to have the proper attitude. Now, this is supposed to be the season of love and happiness and everything, and how many of us go through Advent going, like that, all right? It can get to us, can't it? I think one of the best things you and I can do during this Advent season is to take the time to be thankful and to show gratitude in our lives. Not just, hi, not just for gifts, but for what God has done for us, for what God has given us in Jesus Christ. Let us be led by gratitude, and let us share the message of Advent with others. We're going to give a lot of gifts, I would imagine, in these next couple of weeks. Let's make sure one gift we give is the gift of Jesus Christ. By the way we treat others, by the way we talk to others, by actually saying what Jesus Christ means to us. We are called to live out Advent, because we we can be a herald to someone else who doesn't know Jesus. So let's make sure we take all of this into consideration, to live all of this out. And as we go through our Advent, let's make sure we say thank you to this amazing servant of God, John the Baptist.